Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Joey Panera.
I'm Brock Martin.
Today we are talking about the impacts of divorce. This time. We're excited to have Joey here with us. Joey, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us. And before we get started, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do and why this topic is important to you?
Yeah, to get into that, I just want to backtrack a bit. When I was about 11 years old, my parents separated and later got divorced, and it just brought a ton of pain and problems into my life. Things like emotional problems, like anxiety, depression, loneliness, a lot of anger for me as a boy. Dealt with relationship struggles. I remember after my parents split telling myself, I will never get married, because if this is where marriage leads, why in the world would I want to go down that path? And so really had this intense fear of love, relationships, intimacy, didn't know how to do the whole vulnerability thing. And yeah, struggled with unhealthy relationships. And when I got to the dating world, I really felt incompetent, like I didn't really know what I was doing. And certainly have had struggles within marriage, due to what I've been through. But probably most potently, I fell into bad habits around the time of my parents split. Buddy of mine introduced me to pornography, and that really became my drug of choice. And I noticed, you know, like so many men, that in the moment it felt good, but then afterward I felt so empty, and I knew I wanted to be happy even as a boy. And so thankfully heard Jason Everett speak, took his advice, put it into action, got porn out of my life, started living a pure life. That helped a ton. I got new friends. The sports guys I was hanging around with weren't good for me. These new friends were really joyful people, and I discovered that they're just these devout Catholics. And so I just started to be like them, started to pray, build virtue, to learn my faith and seek out God's plan for my life. And that all helped a ton. But even though, you know, my life had transformed in a lot of ways, I still felt broken. And so I looked around for some help. And I was shocked to find there was really nothing practical and specific for a young person who came from a broken family, because I clearly saw how the struggles I was dealing with today were intimately connected to the breakdown of my family. And so, you know, after just recognizing the struggles of my siblings' life, close friends of mine who were going through their parents' divorce, I started reading the research and just understanding that this is a huge problem, but for some reason, no one's really talking about it. And, you know, because of that, there's resources just don't exist to help this group of people. And so after going to Franciscan University, studying business, scaling a company, you know, Steve and I doing our MBA together, I just decided to do something about it. And so I started an apostolate called Restored. And we help teenagers and young adults who come from divorce and broken families to heal and build virtue so they can break that cycle in their own lives. And the main way we do that is by producing content and resources that make healing and building virtue simple. For example, we have a podcast. It's called Restored, Helping Children of Divorce. And on that, we bring on experts to talk about different pain points that people from broken families face. And we also bring people on to share their stories, to talk about what they have been through and then what kind of helped them in, you know, their healing journey and so on. And so we've had awesome guests like Dr. Bob Schutz has been on a bunch. He's a big fan and supporter of us. Dr. Shree has been on. Jason Everett, Matt Fred, like all those great guys and many more. And so that's a little bit about my story and the apostolate.
Joey, if we have time, you'll have to tell us more about how Steve did in the MBA program and just the truth behind that curtain.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I figured.
No, I did okay, because Joey, I think, mentored me the whole way through. So.
I think it was the other way around. I think you're like, bro, you're doing way too much work. Here's how to be efficient.
Maybe I did that once, only to make myself feel better.
This is spectacular. I had no idea you guys had that connection. Joey and I, we talked 2 days ago, and it was great to meet you, Joey. Very impressive. Impressed what you're doing, and I'm sorry about that. That your story, you know, had those difficult times, but it's also beautiful to see what God is doing through that. And God, all for God's, God's providence is real, and He wills all things for good. And so to see what you're now doing with what you've gone through is just it's God's story. It's the Easter, we're the Easter people, So I love that. Amen. You said, when your parents got divorced, and I don't know what that's like, and I can only imagine how painful that is as a child. Like, I could just imagine, and it hurts. And so many of our men listening, because the data is, 50%, I don't know if it's more now, of marriages end in divorce. It's tons and tons.
Yeah.
And you said something real specific. You said you had an incompetent feeling. And I'm sure there's a lot of men that feel that, especially the younger guys on college campuses or that have just graduated, aren't yet in relationships or aren't yet engaged or don't want to get engaged, are afraid to be married. What do you say to guys that feel that feeling that you felt that are in that situation. They haven't stepped. Maybe they want to and they're afraid. Maybe they don't want to because they're afraid. What's your initial advice to those guys?
No, amazing question and topic. I would say I get it. I totally get it. You know, like I said, I've been through it myself. I don't blame you for feeling that way, for running in the opposite direction of marriage, because it's true. If that was the only option, that a marriage would end in disaster, like you would be really irresponsible to go down that route. The challenge is, and the question really is that the only option, or is there another way? And what I've learned, one of the things that's been so helpful for me, is just being in the presence of really healthy marriages and families. Like, it's so inspiring. I'm sure you guys have witnessed this too, but Thomas, this is why I love the marriage mentorship program you guys have through Focus, because it's just so important and helpful to connect with, you know, healthy marriages and families. And so one of the things growing up, I, you know, saw two marriages that were just so inspiring to me. And so it really, they were the ones who helped me through a lot of the fear I had about love. They gave me hope that love could last, that it could be beautiful, that it could, you know, not just last, but yeah, be joyful. Like, there could be happiness within marriage. And certainly there's a season of struggle. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, it can be hard. I've been married about 6 years now, and we've certainly been through some stuff. But yeah, it can be so beautiful. And so I hope you have marriages like that in your life. If not, I would say ask God to bring them in your life and seek them out. You'd be surprised who's around you, whether it's at your church or even on campus. Like, I went to Franciscan University, and there were just amazing, you know, professors, and, you know, I built some relationships with them, and they were an inspiration and became mentors to me as well. So that's one thing I would say. The other thing I would say is, it is scary. Love is scary. It can be scary, right? Because whenever we're putting our hearts out there, it's possible we'll be hurt. In fact, I would say you're going to be hurt. And so the question really is, what's worse? You know, being hurt or never living at all? And I would say it's far, far worse to never live at all. And so I think the joy, the freedom, the peace, the disadventure that can come into your life when you decide to love and even pursue marriage is going to far outweigh the cost if you work at it.
One more question, and then Joey, love that very practical, advice of find examples that can show you it's possible and how to do that. And I don't want to put people in a box, right? Mm-hmm. But for those guys that their parents have gone through a divorce, is there 1, 2, 3 typical experiences, doubts that come up that is good to call out that maybe they're not aware of yet, or maybe they know, but they don't know how to get out of that? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, of course. I think I would reference research on the topic. So Thomas, I know you and I spoke about this previously, that some of the longest study we have on children of divorce comes from UC Berkeley, not exactly a conservative stronghold, but they did great research on this topic. They studied children of divorce for 25 years. It was all their findings were published in a book called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce. Dr. Judith Wallerstein was the researcher. And two main takeaways from her study. She said the full effects from your parents' divorce actually aren't experienced until adulthood. As she called it, the sleeper effect. It doesn't mean you're not affected beforehand. It just means that about college age and beyond, you start to see your brokenness to surface. And the second finding was that she said that the biggest area of your life that's impacted by your parents' divorce is your own relationships, especially your marriage, your future marriage. And the basic reason for that, as you'd imagine, is that we lack a roadmap for love. We've seen a broken model of love and marriage that's kind of burned into our DNA. And that programming can be rewritten. But unless we're very intentional about that, and we have a lot of God's grace, of course, we typically repeat what we saw in our families. And, you know, for those of us who came from really broken situations, we might end up repeating those same marriages. And so I know it's just a huge fear, Thomas, to answer your question, for so many, you know, men who come from broken families, is that we're kind of doomed to repeat that cycle of dysfunction and divorce. And I'm here to tell you, you are not doomed to repeat that cycle. You can heal, you can grow, you can write your own story. And I think the first step of really moving that direction is just recognizing the fact that what you went through was traumatic. So often in our culture, we treat divorce and broken families as kind of like just a normal part of life. In fact, a lot of people celebrate it because they think, well, it's for the best and everyone's happier. And certainly there are some situations, if you guys want to touch on them, where a split is necessary for the safety of the spouse or the children. The catechism is very clear about that. But in the majority of cases, it's actually about 70% of cases, they're called low conflict divorces, where there wasn't, you know, abuse, there wasn't violence, there wasn't, you know, all this crazy stuff going on. It was just because the spouses chose to go separate ways. I'm not minimizing their suffering. I'm sure there was a lot of tough stuff they're going through in their marriage, but certainly, you know, different than I think we often talk about when it comes to divorce. And so, yeah, it was a trauma. And the first step to healing anything is just getting to know it more, right? If a doctor is going to diagnose any sort of illness, he really needs to study it. He needs to understand like what is going on here. And we need to do the same if we want to heal trauma.
Joey, I love that you're mentioning this stuff, and it kind of dovetails into the question I have for you. Before we hit record, you were talking a lot about this concept of helping the people who are coming to Restored build virtue. And obviously, children who come from divorced families kind of face this twofold struggle with virtue. One, we are mimetic creatures, and the parents that they watched didn't live this out as a great example for them. But secondly, there's a tremendous amount of trauma and pain that almost presupposes you to struggle with vice as opposed to building virtue. So I'd love for you just to dive a little bit deeper into what do you do with the folks who are coming to you with regards to building virtue and kind of entering this twofold struggle, if you will.
Yeah, no, I love that question. I think one thing I see a lot in young people today is like this victim mentality, right? Where we've been through difficult situations, we've been through trauma, we feel broken, right? And there's kind of two extremes. On one end, there's the victim mentality. On the other end, maybe this mentality that all that doesn't really matter. Don't even pay attention to it. Just keep moving forward in life and you'll be fine. I think the right balance is somewhere in the middle. And just to touch on victim mentality, what I'm talking about there is just this kind of feeling of like powerlessness, that we can't do anything to overcome the brokenness in our life. We can't, you know, uproot vice, you know, whether that's an addiction to pornography, you know, drinking too much, maybe, you know, being addicted to your work or whatever other, you know, impatience, lack of humility, whatever, you know, vice is in our life. And so that, I see that a lot in young people today, just a lot of powerlessness, a lot of kind of waiting for someone to come in and rescue them. And not really putting in the work. And so what I would say, one of the most helpful things for me is, Jason Everett has been a mentor of mine over the years. I remember when I was going through a lot of this tough stuff in my family, some advice that he offered was, look, find someone in your life who's maybe suffering more than you are and just love them. And he didn't say that in the sense of like, ignore your own brokenness, ignore, you know, your own need for healing and use your maybe apostolate or use, you know, that person as a way to kind of medicate yourself, but really look outside yourself, like look beyond your own pain. And so I think that's like really, really helpful. But yeah, when it comes to building virtue, I think the starting point is really a growth mindset, right? Just believing that you can change and you can grow. And I'm here to tell you, you absolutely can. And if you don't believe that, look at stories of people who did that, who maybe were drug addicts or just in a really rough spot in life, especially the saints. And see how by God's grace and through a lot of effort, they were just able to transform. And so the opposite of a growth mindset is a fixed mindset, the belief that you can't change, you can't grow, you kind of are the way that you are. And so that growth mindset is obviously super, super important. But the catechism gives us a really helpful 4-point framework. I'll try to remember all the points, but they say the first thing that we need in order to build virtue is education. We need to learn the virtues in order to live them. The second thing is deliberate acts. Like we need to be very deliberate. Like if you're practicing a sport or an instrument or really any sort of craft, we need to be very deliberate about what we're doing and practice it again and again. And we need a lot of reps. Like we can't do it for like a week. We can't do it for like a month or even a year. We need to keep going again and again. And then, so deliberate acts is the second one. And then perseverance in those acts, right? So to my point. And then finally, God's grace. And God's grace is obviously the best hack to building virtue, right? The function of grace in our soul is that it helps us to do good and avoid evil. And so we need all of that. Again, education, deliberate acts, perseverance in those acts, and God's grace in order to build virtue. And one resource I just mentioned that's super, super practical, it's secular, but I found it really helpful, is James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, when it comes to just like building little habits, systems around your life. It's so doable and so possible. And I would say again that, you know, the systems you build in your life, the virtues you build, is going to end up leading you on a new trajectory in life. And so if you want to rewrite your story, if you want a different past than your parents had, building virtue is so essential.
Joey, two things you mentioned there I think are awesome, and it's going to take me into my question. First of all, this growth mindset versus fixed mindset. You know, are we the way we are and we can't do anything about it? Fixed mindset. Growth mindset, we have circumstances around us, but we can actually engage ourselves and those circumstances to grow and to change, to adapt, that we're not stuck in the situation that we're in. And I love that. And there's a great book about mindset by Carol Dweck. Go look that up, guys. These four points that you mentioned, and I'm going to say them again because I think they are critical for so many areas, even outside of the topic we're talking about right now. And so, guys, if you're in a place where you can jot this down or text it to yourself to consider later, education, deliberate acts, perseverance, and God's grace. I love those four. I'm going to hold on to those and reflect on those later. But this takes me into my question. And when we were getting our MBA from Bennington College, go Ravens out there. I know Brock's a Raven too.
There you go.
Our last project was to kind of create this business idea. And we've talked about it on the podcast. And I threw out this idea called Dad Catholic. And because as we know, fatherhood is not only lacking in the world that we live in, but the direct impact to a lot of the problems. It's the reason that there are a lot of problems in the world, in the culture, in the church today, is simply because we lack fathers. I think a lot of the guys listening today, divorce hits them hard because they grew up without a father. Or a absent father, maybe. And with these four points, with the growth mindset, how do these guys who are listening right now, who think maybe similar to you, like I grew up in divorce, I didn't have a dad, how do they live their lives in a way where they can either turn to God as that father figure, or what do they do? What advice would you give these men who are listening who grew up without a dad due to the pains of divorce?
Yeah, no, I love that. I would say Nicole Rodriguez from the JP2 Healing Center came on our podcast recently, and she had this great line. She said, "You are not made to live without a father and a mother. You're not made to live without a father and mother." And so I would say, if your biological father isn't the man that you need him to be, isn't the father that you need him to be, you need to find other men in your life who can kind of fill that gap. There's never anyone in our lives who can fully fill that father role for us, right? At least no human. But I know for me, man, having mentors in my life, including my spiritual doctors, that was really helpful. You know, I went through therapy, many, many years of therapy. That was helpful too. But I think the most helpful thing was just having like married men in my life who could just like, you know, kind of love me through the challenges I was going through, affirm me when I needed it, and then offer some really wise guidance. And like, okay, this is what you should do in this situation, or here's what I think. So I would say, find a mentor like that. Find a mentor like that. And then again, if you feel kind of lost with that, ask God to bring them in your life, and then look around and see kind of who do you admire? Like who's living a life that you might want to replicate? And then try to build a relationship slowly with them. Don't go all at once, maybe, and ask them, would you be my mentor? But you know, you can maybe sit down for a drink or coffee, ask them some, you know, questions, and see if they can give you some advice on things. And then as you build that relationship further, then you can dive in and maybe have some sort of official mentorship, or you're meeting kind of regularly. And so that's one thing I would say that is super, super helpful. But when it comes to your relationship with God, man, I've struggled a lot here because, you know, there was a lot in my family that kind of led up to my parents' split, but certainly I looked up to my dad a lot, and then I was let down by him in a very big way. And so that like really impacted my view of God the Father. And, you know, Steve, like I've heard you say elsewhere, we as kids like are the most powerful creatures that we know, our parents. And so we tend to think, well, if they're like this, then God must be like this too. And especially our fathers. And so one priest a while back, he gave me some great advice. He said, if God the Father like doesn't feel safe, go to St. Joseph. St. Joseph has like, you know, he's as perfect as we can get an image of God the Father. He reflects him more fully than any other saint or any other person. And so that's always been kind of consoling. And I definitely grew close to St. Joseph through different things. But yeah, I think one final thing I was just going to mention is like, give God your anger. Like it's so important. Like he already sees it. He knows it. And like Father Mike says, you know, you're not giving God's, you know, you're not telling God something he doesn't know. You're giving him some he doesn't have when you bring him all of your struggles. And so what I encourage young people to do especially, and I echo it to all the men listening here, is just talk to him about it. You know, I think the worst thing that could happen, what I often see, is like that anger can be a wedge in our relationship with God, driving us further from him, or it can actually be a bridge that brings us closer to him. And it's not something that happens quickly. I mean, I wrestled with this for years, lots of, you know, spiritual direction, adoration, lots of, you know, therapy. But over time, I was able to find God in the midst of all that suffering, all the just messiness of my family. And I just, you know, realized that God wasn't on the sidelines watching me get my teeth kicked in. He was right there in the midst of it with me. He was with that 11-year-old Joey who was sitting in the closet, like bawling, because I just found out my parents were getting divorced. And so what I've learned is that sometimes God's only response to our pain is his presence. Father Mike Schmidt said that. And I think that's so true. And so I think the challenge for us is, in the midst of all this pain and suffering, instead of running from him, is really holding on to him tightly.
Gosh, Joey, I think that is so profound. And I love that you mentioned St. Joseph. Both you're named after him. My middle name is Joseph. And I think this episode is going to release really close to his feast day next Tuesday. I also, before we end, I just want one quick question. There's probably some guys listening, and I know we've got some because of emails that have come in of dads who, for one reason or another, have been divorced and annulled. And kind of like you mentioned, there were, you know, good reasons to separate, but unfortunately find themselves as parents who are divorced. And so could you maybe just give a couple pointers to any single dads that may be listening? Like, how can they proactively combat some of these things for their children who are living the reality that we're discussing?
Yeah, no, thanks for that. And just want to kind of preface everything I'm about to say with, nothing that I shared, nothing that we're talking about is meant to condemn or tear you down in any way, but just to try to speak the truth about this really difficult reality in our life. And I think, you know, I've never met a parent who wanted to hurt their children by getting divorced. But I think so often the pain is overlooked. And if we, you know, I want the same thing for your children that you do. I want them to be healthy, to be happy, to be holy, to just thrive in life. And the place we need to start is just with the problem, with the pain, with the trauma, and help them work through that. And because if we don't understand that and we don't kind of start with that, we might offer help that isn't actually helpful and might actually be harmful. That's what I've seen. And so, but to answer your question though, I would just say, like, fathers, you play such a critical role, even if you feel kind of boxed out of your kid's life. Like, I'm talking with the dad right now who, you know, the wife's kind of unfortunately pulling the son away, and the son won't respond to anything, and the wife's trying to alienate. And so just really sad situation. And so he's, you know, working to just be able to see his son and all that. But sometimes parents, I think, when they go through a divorce, and dads go through a divorce, they might feel like, well, I'm kind of done now. You know, I can't really have the influence that I want. I don't see my kid half the time, or maybe even more. There was a study they did in Turkey, a Turkish study, and they looked at high school students. And as you might expect, they found that students who came from divorced families were more likely to deal with things like anxiety, depression, and loneliness. But they found this really interesting thing, that those students who had a good relationship with one or both parents were far less likely to struggle with anxiety, depression, or loneliness. And so I think the lesson in it is that you play such a critical role in mitigating these negative effects. And so if you can just have a good relationship with your kids, and there's two ways we bond with people, right? We all know this, through activities, through experiences, and through conversation. And so create great experiences, create, you know, go on dates, go on, you know, adventures, whatever, and then have good conversations, you know, ask great questions, share a bit about yourself without maybe oversharing about like the divorce or all that, because that's a big pitfall. But that's what I would say. That's my encouragement. I'd say there's three big kind of problems, pitfalls that we would want to avoid. And one is just bad mouthing your spouse. Try not to do that. It's really tempting to do that. The next is putting your child in the middle to like pass messages back and forth. Don't do that. Communicate directly with your spouse or through someone else. And then finally, don't rely on your children for your emotional support. It can be really tempting because maybe they're there in the midst of it and you can just kind of unload on them. They're not meant to be that. And that will actually destroy your relationship in the long run, even though in the moment it might be helpful. So just know that I'm praying for you all. I'm sorry for what you've been through. And just know that there's a lot of hope in the future. And there's always, you know, just amazing stories of marriages being redeemed as well, if that might be something that God can work through you and your spouse.
Joey's such a big topic, and you handle it with such grace, hitting on both the theoretical but also the practical. And I just really appreciate that as a friend. And but also, I think all of our listeners are really going to grab different nuggets of this, no matter what state in life they're in, or they have been in, or maybe will be in. And so I just want to thank you for your apostolate, for all that you're doing, and especially just thank you for your time today. Joey Pontarelli, again, with Restored. Go check it out. Check out the podcast and his apostolate. Joey, how do they find it online? How do they find out what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find all our resources at Restored Ministry. It's singular, restoredministry.com.
Awesome. So please be sure to check that out. Joey Pontarelli, that's it today on a big topic of divorce, but we'll catch you next time on the Man Catholic Podcast. God bless.